Please pray with me. God, we pray that these words of your life and your love would pour into us. Give us a posture of openness to accept what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this week we enter Lent. We have entered Lent. This time of reflection and repentance as we make our journey to Easter. And today we begin with these classic texts that mark our entrance into Lent. Jesus tempted in the wilderness, the story of the fall of humanity and the origin story of Genesis. These passages are saturated with meaning and parallel, all these different ways that we should be connecting Christ's story with other points in Scripture, as well as to our own experience. Jesus' time in the wilderness lasted 40 days and 40 nights, a number echoing many significant stories of Israel. Who's got one that comes to mind? What are other 40s that show up in the Bible? Oh, say again. Noah's Ark, yes, 40 days in the Ark, yes. What other 40s come to mind? How about 40 years? Does that ring a bell? Wandering in the wilderness, yes, absolutely. The Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And even the times that Moses and Elijah spent in the wilderness and on mountaintops, there were 40s there as well. The notion of being famished in the middle of nowhere is another aspect, right, of Israel's journey. As we remember, God provided manna from heaven to sustain them. And Elijah, too, he needed to be fed and nurtured in his escape through the wilderness. Over and over again, it seems that Matthew is trying to make it very clear to us who this Jesus is and how he is so thoroughly connected to the faith and tradition of the Jewish people. In fact, if we think about even the last three chapters of Matthew, we see that there is this theme of establishing Christ's identity. First, the Christmas story and his birth origin. Next, his escape to Egypt to avoid the dangers of Herod's empire, as he was seen as a threat to be eliminated. Then we saw Jesus' relationship with John the Baptist as he waded in the Jordan River and a voice ripped open the heavens and declared him the beloved Son of God, well worth listening to. And so now, in this final chapter of Matthew's introduction to Jesus, he goes through a final experience before beginning ministry in earnest. You might even say the temptation in the wilderness is his final exam before starting his career. And now that's the sort of thing I feel like maybe many of us can relate to. Raise your hand. Who here has been or is a teacher in the house? Who's been a teacher? Okay, several. Absolutely. All teachers have to go through those different state standardized tests, right, before you can get access to that career. You got to pass those tests. If you're in law, you know, I've heard the bar exam can be incredibly wicked. And I even think just about getting into next steps of higher education, right? First, you got to get through a test, ACT, SAT, GRE, MCAT, etc. There's 100 more I don't even know. I know for myself, I had to go through a bunch of specialized exams before I could start here as a pastor. Even after you voted for me to be a pastor here, I still had to take a bunch of exams to affirm, yes, you can be a pastor there. And as much as I value the importance of those, I don't miss that phase. Because when we are tested, it's often a difficult experience that can induce a lot of fear and trembling. Perhaps similarly, Jesus was going through his final testing prior to ministry. This story is that final step before he returned to Capernaum and invited the first disciples to follow him. Maybe a testament to the importance and the necessity of preparation for what is to come. Now, 40 days and nights, fasting in the wilderness sounds hard enough. But then at the tail end, at the weakest point of his human limitation, it was then that the tempter struck. The devil appeared with such a clever idea. Let's show up in the middle of Jesus' hard road and offer an easy way out. First, The devil invited Jesus to turn stones to bread, that he might satisfy that ravenous hunger after a 40-day fast. At this point, we got to remember that Jesus was indeed truly and fully human. He would have been physically exhausted, pained with hunger. And taking advantage of that, the devil reminded him that he had every opportunity to use a quick fix through his godliness to satisfy his own hunger. Take the easy way out. Next, the devil invited Jesus to test his own limits. Throw yourself off the temple and let God take care of you. Just as is promised in your own scriptures, ignore your human bodily capacity and put yourself in harm's way, and then let somebody else sort it out. Take the easy way out. Finally, the big finale, no punches pulled. An invitation to receive all power, all glory in all the world, and it's only going to cost Jesus' integrity. The ends can justify the means, right? Just budge on those convictions and see the rewards you'll reap. Take the easy way out. But with each easy way out, Jesus saw right through that smokescreen and understood the devil for what he truly is, and that is a scammer. I think we've all gotten pretty familiar with scams this day and age. Identity theft, phishing, pyramid schemes, you name it. There are scammers abounding in this digital age. A few years ago, I was working for our theater company, and we had to find a used pickup. You see, we had a parking lot, and we had a very old pickup that we used to plow it out in the wintertime, and the issues of the pickup were starting to mount, and so we decided we needed an upgrade. And I was charged with going out and finding a good option as a replacement. And so, being the cheapskate that I often am, and knowing how I feel like dealing with car salesmen is like getting a root canal, I decided to head straight for my favorite website of all time, Craigslist. Some of y'all already know where this might be going. I spent a good long while searching for used pickups for sale by owner, and I discovered a real winner. A gray Chevy Silverado, only 7 years old, relatively low miles, great condition, just $5,000. No way. It seemed too good to be true. So I emailed the seller. I updated my coworkers with all this excitement. Look at this deal I found. It was so easy. It took 20 minutes. Within an hour, the seller responded. They informed me in a brief email with very little punctuation that the item was still available. I shrugged that off and responded, so is there a good time for me to come take a look, maybe do a test drive, I'll just need an address, maybe a phone number. Again, they responded very quickly. The item's location is in Denver, Colorado. Please wire $5,000 plus shipping costs to the following account, and the item will be sent to you. Now at this point, any smart person would have seen that this was a scam right off the bat. And I am not that person. I was a little leery, but you know, the deal was just too much. I couldn't avoid it. And so I responded, okay, one second, I have to check with my director first. And so I brought the Craigslist ad to my director. I showed him the email chain. You know, it's only $5,000. It's in great condition. And within like 3 seconds, he said, oh, no, Jordan, no, this is a scam. This is not legitimate. Look at the picture. The picture is from a commercial. It's not even a real picture. Just like that, my pickup dreams were vanished. Not so easy after all. The reality check we all get at some point in this life is that age-old piece of wisdom. If it seems too good to be true, it probably is. And if something seems a lot easier than you expected, there might be a catch. Diet trends, as seen on TV products, political campaign promises, in our desire to find an easy way out, we find ourselves scammed by faulty logic and utter falsehood. On a spiritual level, these temptations, they scam us, they show up in our own lives in their own way, just as they did for Jesus. For each one of us is tempted to find quick fixes to satisfy our immediate desire. And we find ourselves struggling in illnesses of addiction and numbness to the world around us. Every one of us has phases in life where we choose to disregard our own limits. And we just throw ourselves into something too hard, too fast, for too long, and we wind up burned out and ready to quit. You want to talk about pastors leaving ministry? Ignoring limitations. And all of us confront those moments in life where we have to make a choice. Am I willing to go against what I know is right for the sake of getting what I want? And it's often much sneakier than that, honestly. Sometimes it's just, am I willing to budge a little bit on my values just to get a little edge, just to make things a little easier? Knowing that sometimes even the smallest adjustment on our trajectory will put us a long ways off over time. This brings us back to the season of Lent, the journey winding its way back to Easter. It is a hard road. To commit ourselves to reflect, to pray, to engage with Scripture, it's a hard road to keep our eyes set on the destination ahead and to ignore all the easy ways out on the side, which are actually only pitfalls. And so we are left to look to Jesus Christ for guidance on how to make that journey. Jesus did not indulge in the quick fix. He channeled his desires into prayer. He acknowledged God as the only true thing that can satisfy. And he prayed for help, for strength, for wisdom, for all of that to overcome that desire for a quick fix. And for those who do find themselves in the midst of addiction, Jesus responds in grace and in mercy. We proclaim a Savior that did not come for the healthy but for the sick, and desires to be present for those who could admit that they need strength beyond themselves. Jesus did not ignore his human limitations. The Gospels are not rife with stories of Jesus using divinity as a way to get around his bodily reality. He walked from place to place. He paused to eat and drink and sleep. He worked. And when the moments came when he was physically and mentally weary and overburdened as a human, he took intentional time away. He escaped into healthy solitude regularly to rest, to pray, to rejuvenate. He did not test God's protection and preservation with a workaholic's need to prove their worth by what they accomplish. Lastly, Jesus refused to compromise his integrity for anything. Period. He would not skip steps. He would not take the bailout. He would not go against his convictions in the name of achievement or status or power. He did not seek titles or recognition. In fact, he spent a lot of his ministry trying to keep the word down, try to keep it hidden, all in submission to the timing and to the will of God. And he took that commitment all the way to the cross. Friends, it is our Savior sibling Jesus who sets this path, who sets this Lenten journey. It's a hard road with no easy way out, but we mustn't lose hope and we mustn't turn around. In the moments of difficulty, we remember that it is Jesus himself who walks this road with us, and that we all walk it together as his body. When one of us stumbles, we come beside and pick them up. One of us needs to pause and catch breath, we create space for just that. If one of us gets off track, we join Christ in a warm and grace-filled invitation to return. We walk this hard road together. And we must take this journey because the destination holds for us the only true and lasting hope that we have in this life. The Easter morning hope of a life utterly transformed in the cross of Christ. A life made new by the energy of the Holy Spirit, A life gifted and guided by God, who knows each of us by name and calls us beloved. So what does that journey of Lent look like for you? In what ways do you feel invited to practice finding your satisfaction in God's presence, being mindful of your own healthy human limitations, and keeping your integrity intact? I want to close this time with a few moments to just silently reflect on those commitments. What do those commitments look like for you right now? Let's take a moment now. Amen. Friends, may this season be one of fruitful service, of illuminating self-discovery, and of grace upon grace from a God that loves you beyond measure. It's a hard road with no easy way out, but we walk it together, and we walk it with Jesus leading the way. Amen.